We're going to continue with our series. Actually, this is going to conclude our series. And next Sunday, Jim Freiling is going to share with us. But we're going to conclude our series, Where Are You? And what we've been basically talking about is that as disciples, we are on a journey. And if you're on a journey, you need to know two things. You need to know where you're going. And we believe as disciples of Jesus, that's Christ's likeness. But you also need to know where you are. And we've been talking about how we have different levels of maturity and we are at different places on our journey. And when we know where we are, that makes all the difference in the world in our ability to take our next steps in the right direction. I'm going to ask that you turn to 1 Peter again. We're going to be looking at chapters 4 and 5. We started out talking about being dead in Christ, and then we talked last week about being an infant and being a child, and today we're going to be looking about being a young adult and about being a parent. And as we do that, remember, that has nothing to do with your physical age, but it's about how you've grown in your walk with Christ. Before we get to all that, I just want to talk a little bit about hitting your groove, because that's where I want to get to today as we talk about the next two stages. You know, people would come up to me and ask me often if I played golf. And I used to say a little bit, and then it went to, well, I go out there with a bag and some clubs, and that's about as much as I would dare say it's golf. And now I just say I don't even play at all, because I'm just lousy. It's just all charity. But there's a thing that happens when I play golf that just drives me nuts, and it's probably the number one reason why I stay away from it now. And that's this. I can go out and play really bad. And usually around hole 10, I start thinking about what I'm going to do to my clubs. By hole 13, I've picked out the pond that I'm going to throw them in. By hole 16, I just know how I'm going to throw them. You know, it's going to be a several whips around. Or am I going to do it individual clubs? Am I going to break them first? I've got that all figured out. And then on hole 18, my second shot. By this time, I'm deep in the woods. I'm seeing animals I've never seen before, snakes, all kinds of things. I have really very little doubt where the hole is. And I take a swing, and just for some reason, it's perfect. And there's this little tiny hole in the branches up there, and my ball just happens to go right through that. I have no idea how. I was aiming that way, but it made it through there. So I kind of run out of the gully, and I look, and I see my ball just land perfectly right, you know, just right in front of the green there, take a few bounces up on the green and roll toward the hole. And then I get lucky enough, I go up there and I actually make the putt. And then what happens is I'm making my way back to the clubhouse thinking about, man, next time I come, this is going to be really good. I finally figured it out. And then I come back and it's just terrible again. But for a moment there, I thought I've hit my groove. And it felt really good. And you know, you do that in a lot of things, almost anything. Suddenly it becomes easier. Suddenly it becomes second nature. If you've played a lot of sports, you come to this place where the game, what we say is it slows down. It's easy, you know, you can make the decisions that were hard to make quickly. Now suddenly it's a piece of cake. And it just is so much better. It's a great place to be. And that's kind of what we want to talk about today. And as we mature, getting to that place where we really hit our groove. So let's begin. And we're going to talk about the stage of young adult, first of all. And the stage of young adult. And how we've been doing this is we've been looking at what this group of people at this level of maturity, what they say, what they think, what comes out of their mouth. And so maybe these are things that you've said. Maybe these are things that you've thought. And that will kind of let you know, hey, this kind of fits me. Now, also, let me say, you're not probably all in one stage. You probably cover a couple of them, and that's okay. There's parts of us that are very mature and parts of us that need some work, right? So let's look at young adults. This is what are some of the things that they'll say. The first one, in my devotions, I came across something that got me thinking. I love hearing this. Because, you know, the fact is that at your home, you have a Bible. I'm almost guaranteed that 100% of you have a Bible, probably several. But what I'm not sure is what happens to that. You know, it's kind of funny when somebody leaves a Bible at church and then the next Sunday they come back and I say, hey, you forgot your Bible. And they say, oh, did I? You didn't miss it during the week, huh? But I love it when I hear someone, you know, asking a question about something that they read, and it's like, oh, okay. So they've been reading. They're interested. Something has captivated them. They've actually grabbed it. And, you know, sometimes, man, I'll see young, very young people, and they've got notebooks, and they just take notes like crazy, and you can tell that they're into it. And so it's exciting that they've come across something. The next one, I really feel God is leading me to go on our next mission trip. I like this one too because it kind of tells me that they're becoming sensitive to God's leading in their life. They're starting to feel those nudges. You know, a lot of times we don't feel, it's like when you get married and after a while you don't notice when your wife nudges. I walked into the house down into the basement, and Kim was down there, and I went down there. She was working on the computer, and so I got mine out, and I was, you know, fiddling around, doing some really important stuff, you know, probably checking Lions forums. And suddenly she said, I need compliments. And what that means is I didn't see something. So I started looking around, and sure enough, she'd cataloged a whole stack of books that I had there and put them away, and it was, you know, it was obvious when she looked. I just totally didn't notice it. And, you know, sometimes we're like that with God. We just, you know, he puts something in front of us, and we don't even see it. We don't even notice it. It's just, we're totally oblivious to it. And so when I hear people say this, I'm going, okay, you know, they're starting to, you know, hear, they're starting to be sensitive to that. The third one, I love teaching in children's ministry. Right there, that's amazing. The kids seem to really respond to me. You know, it's fantastic when you hear someone, they've had that experience, and it might not be teaching, it might be something else, but when they've done something in it, and, you know, they feel good about it. They feel like, man, this is something, you know, I can do this. Because, you know, when I hear that, I think, okay, they're starting to explore what their gift is and you know, what's going on. The next one, I have a couple of friends who are asking questions about God. Can I start a Bible study with them? Man, this is nice. This is somebody who's, you know, they've started to see some responsibility. Usually when we see somebody that we're concerned about, we think, you know, it's a good thing the church hired some people to do this. And we don't see it as our responsibility. And so when people start taking that responsibility, it's so encouraging. I heard one of our members is in a nursing home. I think I'll go visit. This is especially cool when you have a younger person going to and visit an older person in a nursing home. And almost every time that's happened, it's rare. But almost every time it's happened, they both really enjoyed it beyond what I would ever expect. And they, you know, just had this fantastic experience. And they tell me, they come back, especially the younger person, they'll come back and tell me, do you know they have birds in the nursing home. They have a cage, a big cage, there's birds, and they have fish. And they, you know, all the stuff that they had no idea was in there. Yeah, go visit if you've never been. Then the last one, there are so many people coming to church, I think I'll park as far away as I can so we'll open up space for visitors. What I like about that question is people have become aware of the ultimate purpose. You know, we can do so many good things. You think of the story of Mary and Martha, and Martha's in the kitchen cooking and practicing hospitality, taking care of all the guests, and Mary is with Jesus and she's loafing around, she's not helping. And Martha comes out and says, you know, Jesus, tell her to come help me. There's a lot of work to do. And Jesus says, no, Mary's understanding the best part. And she's spending time doing the best part. And you know, so many times we get all caught up in doing good things. And you know, we can do that at church. And I say, you know, our number one priority is making disciples. And we aren't making that many disciples. And sometimes that's because we are so focused on good things, we're missing the most important thing. And so when I hear these kinds of things, I go, okay, this is somebody who's starting to understand the mission. Well, follow along as I read 1 Peter 4. I'm going to read the first 11 verses. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living and heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power for ever and ever. Amen. All right, so if you are in this stage, what is your next step? What are the things that you need to be looking for as you mature? And out of this passage, I would just want to bring three things to you. First of all, be God-centered. Be God-centered. Verse 2 said, as a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Do you know that there's a lot of people that become Christians and then they never reach this part? It's still their will. And they're still doing all these things for themselves. And sure, they'll have a little bit of God in there, and they'll have that compartment, that room in their lives that's God's. but not their whole life, most of their life, it's about them. And it's still about them. It stays about them. You know, this is where the, you know, please don't send me to Africa thing comes in. You know, they don't, that was Kim. I kind of broke her of that. But it's, you know, not as far away. You know, that, you know, we joke about that, but that's far away. You can run from God right here. And in so many ways. And you know, you can even make your will sound like it's God's will. We have a way of justifying ourselves so easily. You know, it can sound good. And we don't even realize that we're really not listening to God. And you know, the other thing about it, it's tricky because God is the one who also lays some desires in your heart. And so it takes somebody that's maturing, that learns to listen, and can distinguish between their will and God's will. The second thing, be others-centered. In verses 8 and 9, it said, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. It's interesting there, because again, it's moving away from the me to others. We'll talk about that in just a second. But I like how it tells us what we should do, and then it tells us what happens if we don't. And first of all, it talked about love covering a multitude of sins. Yeah, we're going to be talking about marriage in our next series. You know, marriage is really, really hard. You guys don't listen to that. We'll surprise them. What is really, really hard? And that's why that, you know, verses like this, he goes, okay, now I understand. Love covers a multitude of sins. And then it went to the second part of that verse, and it said, offer hospitality to one another. And it assumes that, really. But this is the tricky part, without grumbling. Isn't it amazing how quickly we start to grumble about stuff, even when we're doing, you know, we'll go ahead and so-and-so should be doing this. Whatever it is. And we grumble. A lot of that's because we haven't really gotten into the getting over and putting others first. It's still me. And therefore I grumble. And I sin. And I do a lot of things I shouldn't. The third thing then is discover your life's mission. This is my life verse. My life's verse. And I came by it by accident. If you look in my office behind my chair, there's a picture. It's framed. Somebody made it, put this verse on it. As a missionary, you have to have a prayer card. And on your prayer card, you have to have a verse. You didn't know that, did you? Next time you get one, you look, it'll have a verse there. And when we were getting ready to go overseas, that time period, it's really busy. We're doing all sorts of things. And they were putting together our prayer card, and they asked me, they needed to ask me what verse needed to go on there. And I wasn't available. We didn't have cell phones back then. I was in another state. And so my dad just gave him a verse to put on there for us. I said, thanks, Dad. But so I come back and I find this verse, and I really liked it. It became my life verse. This is it. It's out of 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. When we looked at what they say, we talked about this, that discovery, hey, maybe this is what God is leading me into. But I like this verse because it starts out, each of you. So that's all of us. You don't pay for somebody to do this for you. It's each of you should use whatever gift. You do have a gift. You have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And that's what we're supposed to be about as a community of faith. That's all that it talks about, being one and being part of one body, and that we have received everything we need as a church. All that. It's when people are doing this. When we're all doing that, that's when it works. It doesn't work so well when people don't do that. And this is the area, the level of maturity when this really starts to blossom. So this whole stage is moving from me-centered to God and other-centered. And it's one of these things, is during this process that you'll notice you really start to hit your groove. It's starting to click. It's starting to make sense. And you feel like, hey, this is what God is really calling me into. The next stage then is the parent stage. What they say. These are the kinds of things you'll hear from people in the parent stage. I wonder if God is leading me to invest in Bill as he's new to faith in Jesus. You've noticed somebody that's new to faith in Jesus and you know, he's it's exciting time, but maybe he's struggling as well. And so they invest in that. I think the community group coordinator could really use some help. I think I'll ask the leader if there is anything I can take off their plate and give them some space. That's not a subliminal message. Well, maybe it is. You could just ask, maybe. The next one, I ask my good friend to hold me accountable for discipling my kids. There's a thing that happens when a kid's faith becomes their own. But it doesn't always happen. There are a lot of full-grown adults who their faith is still their parents. And they're good people. They do all the right things. They come to church. They do all that. But their faith really isn't their own. They haven't processed it for themselves. It's still their parents' faith. But a good parent is going to be somebody who makes sure that his kids process that for themselves. So I tell parents, you know, help your kids along that. Make them discover those kinds of things. Don't just say, don't do this and don't do that. It's not helping them in the long run. We've got way too many immature Christians who their faith has never become their own. But this is somebody who is asking for accountability. And it doesn't have to be about discipling a kid. I just threw that in there because I thought that was a good one. But is spiritually mature enough and is willing to have somebody else hold them accountable for that. The next one, I'm very conscious of my actions when I play church softball. I want to model godly character for the young men on our team, or the young women, or whatever it is. Do you know that there's a lot that goes on in the interactions of day-to-day life, and it's important? How people respond to situations. I pick softball because that's a good one, because, you know, refs are they're blind, you know, as a bat. The last church I had, we had a guy that used to be the ref. He was a really good baseball player in his day, and great coach and all that too. But we'd get mad and we'd go out there, "Kid, are you blind or something?" He'd just turn and smile at you. You know, he probably didn't see it. He didn't care. He just thought it was funny that you were complaining. But, you know, everybody sees that. And sometimes, you know, you wonder, is this church league? Because of how people behave. And that's a great opportunity. It's those opportunities, those little one-on-one opportunities that we have to, and mature people are aware of that. And they pay attention to that. Those are times when we can make a difference in other people's lives. Last one here is, Susan is ready to lead her own small group, but she still lacks a little confidence. I'm going to encourage her and help get her out on her own. Is this somebody who sees these kinds of things? You know, there's people that, you know, they're close and they just need a little help. And people with this level of maturity, this level of growth, they see those things and they walk out and they make it possible for people to really thrive. Well, let's read 1 Peter chapter 5. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Well, quickly, four things. First of all, be willing and eager. Verse 2 said, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them. And he said, he's talking to elders here, and he's talking about people mature in the faith. Watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. You know, that might seem like a small thing, but it's surprising how many leaders, people in leadership, act like they're not very willing and not very eager. And I'll tell you, if I find a leader that's kind of always you know, acting like, you know, this is a big hardship for them, and they're not very excited about this, and, you know, how awful this is that they have. I'll just say, you know, maybe you need to step away from that. And sometimes it's, you know, because we just, you know, want more attention or something. And that's not very mature either. But we are to be willing and eager. Willing and eager. I'm saying this because when I come up to you, you know, some of you have already got that, you know, uh-oh. He's approaching. I think I need to go somewhere. You're to be willing and eager. So be that way. Secondly, be humble. Not over, it's in verse 3, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. You know, we used to have an honor culture. We used to honor people a lot more than we do now. We live a lot in a contempt culture now. And we kind of get that thing going where, you know, it's, man, it's tough. But we're called to be humble. That's not why you take those roles. It's out of service. This is what happens when you don't make that transition from me-centered to God-centered and other-centered. The third one, trust God. It said in verse 7, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Before I came up here, I was what we call in our denomination a cluster leader down that way. And there was 5 churches, and I changed the pastor in all of them. They needed to change. And so I went through that process, and I worked with the bishop during that. And, you know, I've known the bishop from high school on. We kind of grew up together. We were neighbors. And so I know him very well. But, you know, he's so good at this. Because we'll be in there and we'll think, a tough situation. What are we going to do now? And I asked him one time, I said, how do you sleep? You know, because you got these concerns and you're wondering, what's going to happen here? He goes, oh, I sleep like a baby. He says, I don't know what it is. God just takes that away. And it's because of this. I mean, he didn't say that, but it is because I know that. Because you know what he'll say? He'll say, well, let's just pray about it. See what happens. And I say, yeah, let's pray about it, and then I worry about it still. But he'll say, let's just pray about it, and he means, let's just pray about it, and then just see what God does. It's that trust. Trusting God. And finally, stay pure. Be alert and of sober mind. This is 8 and 9. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. And I just want to say, you know, if Satan can make a mature Christian fall, I think he figures that is a great victory. And so be careful. And I think as you mature, you have to be even more on your guard. You think it would be easier, and in a lot of ways it is. But there's also a lot more temptation that can come along. And so just be ready. So this stage then, we talked about going from me-centered to God and others-centered. This one is from discovery to strategy. These mature Christians, when they reach this level, they see that strategy of helping somebody move on, get into another role, advance in different ways. They see those opportunities and they don't even ask. They just go ahead and do it. And they, you know, they see the strategy behind it. And so that's what you see there. I want to close with this, the last part again, verses 10 and 11. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." I just want you to think about that. You're restored, and you go through this maturing process, and you end up strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen. I want Gaines to be a church of people who are strong, firm, and steadfast. Would you bow your heads with me? Our Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your goodness to us. We thank You for the fact that You help us through that process. You have an incredible amount of grace as we walk through that process. But Father, help us to be committed to it. Help us to not be people who say, "Yes, I'm going to follow Jesus," and just leave it there and never do anything else. Help us to grow. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.